This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billiken's win! Billiken's win!
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Well, hello, everybody. How are we doing? How are things? It is a beautiful time to be a sports fan. It's a bit of a cloudy day here in St. Louis. We will get things rolling here with Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. We are live until noon. And coming up at 2 o'clock, it is pregame for the Chiefs and the Bills. Scott Jagow, who you just heard doing the news, is a huge Bills fan. And as a fan of a team, you know that the next 5 hours are going to be where he distracts himself. He's going to try to find something to do, a news story to do. He'll be doing news at the top of the hour. This is a big day for him. Chiefs-Bills, a big game. Biggest NFL game we've had so far. We'll have it on KMOX 325 kickoff. I think the Bills will win it. I think the Chiefs are really, really good. I think that they get, like their 9-0 team in sort of a shell of their former selves. Actually, I look at it a lot differently. I think the Chiefs have redefined who they are, and they are a very good defensive team that will find a way to beat you. They grind it out. They play tough. And they just see how long you'll be able to take it. And yes, it took a missed field goal by the Broncos to get that win to go and stay undefeated. But they're very capable of finding winning ways. They have a brilliant coach. They have a brilliant quarterback. All that said, I think the Bills win it today, and the Bills have to win it. If the Chiefs win this game today, they will have home field, I think, through the playoffs. I think they'll be in the driver's seat, and that means that the road to the Super Bowl will go through Arrowhead Stadium if the Chiefs pull off this win today. That's what I think will eventually happen. So it becomes a huge game for the Bills. They've got to protect home field and get the win. I think that they will, but we'll have our NFL picks at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. Meantime, on this show today, we have a ton to get to. We have college football, which is right now at its peak. I just love what we're seeing out of college football these days. I don't know that we are in for, we've had a better season, you know? I mean, when you think about all the bowl games that were played that were meaningless, or all the teams that were knocked out by this time of year, now you have 20 teams. Like 20 teams that think they can still get into this 12-team college football playoff, and they're right. There will be some SEC teams that will get knocked out. It's going to be a shame for a lot of these teams, but they're going to get knocked out. There are going to be some two-loss SEC teams. As it stands, the way I see it, we'll talk to Tom Hart about this in a few minutes. The way I see this right now, Tennessee's on the outside, and they lost to who? You know? I mean, they lost to Arkansas on the road. And they lost to Georgia on the road. But they are going to be on the outside looking in, and Georgia basically just took their spot. Because BYU, with one loss, still would be hanging around. Boise State's got to get in as a non-Power Four. You have to give the four conference champions a bye. So the SEC will get one. The Big Ten will get one. The ACC will get one. Who knows who that'll be? Miami, SMU. Those two teams look really good. I think nobody talks about SMU. And the Big 12. You know, you got BYU just lost to Kansas. You got a really good and surging Colorado team right now that I don't think anybody would want to play the way that they're playing. If they're healthy, Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. It's going to be fascinating here. The SEC can't get, you can't cram six SEC, seven SEC teams into the 12. That's not happening. The Big Ten's got four of the top five. Three of those teams, so Oregon, let's say, wins the Big Ten, so they get a first-round bye if they win the Big Ten championship. That means you would probably have three teams that are seeded five, six, and seven, pretty much. Ohio State, Penn State, Indiana. And then you have to fit in everybody else. I mean, there are going to be some good teams left out of this thing. So we'll sort it all out with Tom Hart. But I find that fascinating. One team that's not going to be in there is Missouri. Missouri gave a good fight yesterday, but lost to South Carolina 34-30 and just got torched by the quarterback for South Carolina, Sellers. He ate them up. Five touchdown passes in the ballgame. They didn't tackle very well. They didn't defend very well, and that's a shame for them. They could not pull a rabbit out of the hat for the fifth time. They did it against BC. They did it against Vanderbilt. Did it against Auburn. Did it against Oklahoma. This time around, almost did it again, but South Carolina protects home field and gets the win by a final of 34-30. So they're out. South Carolina has three losses, so does Missouri, but Missouri will drop out of the college football playoff rankings. South Carolina will nudge themselves up from 21, but they're a long shot. Illinois won over Michigan State 38-16. College basketball, we'll have Josh Schertz at 10:30 today. Talk to him. We will talk to him, and I did his game last night, so did Bob Ramsey on the radio side. Good win for SLU, but they need to figure out how to close games out better, and he'll get into that a little bit. But I think it's a really good basketball team with Gibson Jimerson and Isaiah Swope in the backcourt, and they don't even have Robbie Avila yet, and they looked good offensively yesterday. 77-71 over Loyola Marymount with former SLU coach Lorenzo Romar in the house. He's an assistant for Loyola Marymount. It was nice to see him. Also in college basketball yesterday, Missouri State, Konzo Martin, gets a win at home against Tulsa in triple overtime, 111-106. SIUE also won, beating Canisius. We at 10:45 will go into the Blues dressing room and hear from the players and Coach Drew Bannister. They win over the Bruins 3-2 in overtime on a Braden Schenn winner, a Schenner winner, and then they play today against a really good Carolina team at 4 o'clock. Larry Fitzgerald will join us at 11:15, one of the all-time great NFL wide receivers, 11-time Pro Bowler. He is going to be awarded this Saturday at the Musial Awards, receiving an award for sportsmanship. We'll talk to Larry at 11:15. At 11:30, John Mozeliak. The Cardinals have a lot of decisions to make, a lot of players who are walking away into free agency, and we'll dive into that with Mo. Mo always tells us he does not talk about free agents. But what we do is we talk about the business and what he is trying to do, and you have to listen closely, and he does reveal strategy, philosophy in those conversations. He's always straightforward with us, I feel, in those conversations. Bernie Miklas, you know he's straightforward at 11:45. He's going to let you have it at the final end of the show, and we'll talk about a lot of things with him. So that's fun. SLU men's soccer team plays in about 45 minutes. They take on Dayton in the A-10 final at Dayton. If they win it, they're in the NCAA tournament. The SLU women's soccer team will find out later today who they're going to play in the second round, either USC or Sacramento State. Those two teams are squaring off this afternoon. So there you have it. A ton of things to do here on the show today. We're going to dive right into it. We'll take a break. Tom Hart from the SEC Network and ESPN joins us next on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Little Schmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
I can't wait. First, I got to turn my mic on. I can't wait to talk to my buddy Tom Hart about some college football, the voice of college football on SEC Network, ESPN. And he actually had the Mizzou games the last 2 weeks joining us on KMOX. Always good to have you back, Tom. What's going on?
Tom, thanks for having me. Just kind of reliving that wild game last night. I just got a text that when South Carolina took that lead late, it actually registered on the seismograph in the Columbia area. The entire stadium was shaking, and I think it's a testament just not just the wildness of that game, but how much this sport means in this league. Like, it defines people's weeks, that's for sure, if not their entire years. And that was fun to be a part of another good one.
Yeah, when you register on a seismograph, that is pretty impressive. How do you let me ask you this before we get into Mizzou. Tell me the loudest SEC stadiums for you. South Carolina, underrated. I have not been to a game there. I'll tell you mine. For me, the loudest I've ever experienced is LSU. LSU, I saw them play Bama on a Saturday night. It was unbelievable. How about for you?
Yeah, I think any SEC stadium, and I don't want to be a Nick Saban and rule out Vanderbilt and then have them come back and beat my team like they did when Vandy beat Bama. But Vandy, because of its size and because the opposition usually takes over the stadium, is kind of in its own category, right? But any of them can be elite for a big game. So I kind of try to judge them on what you would think of as an average game. And so I think last night, you know, a conference matchup, they're ranked, but it's not a top 10 matchup. That's kind of an average game in the SEC. South Carolina is incredibly underrated, but when you understand the history of their program, you appreciate it a little bit more. Before the Panthers came along, there was no pro football within 3 hours of South Carolina. I mean, the Falcons didn't come around till the 60s. So that was their professional football, and it's a huge stadium. I mean, it's seats almost 90,000, I think. But because of the steepness of it, you know, it looks very much like an NFL stadium. So I would have South Carolina there. Texas A&M is a different level because that's a different school. Like, the synchronicity with that fan base is something that's a little bit different because of the Yell leaders and the core cadets and the band. So that's different enough to stand out. And Tennessee is incredibly loud because of the size and the shape of that stadium. But you can't go wrong with LSU. You can't go wrong with Alabama. Texas has a much better game day environment now than they did over the last, you know, 30 years, because they've turned it into less of a wine and cheese crowd and more of an SEC crowd. So, man, there's a lot of great ones. And when you play at night under the lights and you give everybody all day to, you know, get lubricated, it kind of takes it to another level.
You're absolutely right. You know, my wife and I went to the Iron Bowl and saw Auburn lose that 4 overtime game to Bama. Auburn has an unbelievable atmosphere, but of course, it's the Iron Bowl. I mean, like you said, it's a big game. It's going to be wound up, but I know that place gets wound up. I went to Georgia one time and saw them, and it was great, but, you know, they played Marshall. I mean, I kind of wonder what would it be like if they played Tennessee or Bama, or, you know, what would it be like in here? So you're right. It does depend on circumstance, the game that you're attending. You've seen two great ones, South Carolina and the Oklahoma game. I was at the Oklahoma game. It was absolutely bananas. They pull it out, and I started to figure, this is Missouri's identity. I was wondering, you know, what is Missouri? What do they hang their hat on? They hang their hat on pulling games out, and they almost did it last night again. It would have been the fifth time that they pulled out a close game in the end, but it wasn't to be. South Carolina pulls it off. I wanted to ask you about Eli Drinkwitz. He has been named the MAC Sports Personality of the Year. He's going to be the Missouri Athletic Club's top sports personality for 2024. Now, you have to count the Ohio State win there. So he started on a high note, and then he's 7-3. When you take a step back and look at his body of work, is it impressive what he's been able to do the last 2 years? How do you evaluate the Missouri program these last two seasons?
Well, I think the first thing you start with is the Cotton Bowl win, because it wasn't just a New Year's Six win, but it came against a traditional power opponent that everyone can relate to. Everybody knows what Ohio State football represents. So that was a watershed moment for Eli Drinkwitz, especially a guy who a couple of years ago, you know, just kind of came limping into the season. And I think his, at least to this point, his legacy will be remembered by what he's done recruiting, and specifically St. Louis. And we had this long conversation, and I asked him about it before the Oklahoma game, because Luther Burden was originally committed to Oklahoma. And I said, listen, not only did you get an elite player, but it seemed to kind of change the trajectory of the program when you got him. I said, what did that flip represent in your mind? And he said, well, this was a program that needed hope. And he represented that hope. It got our staff excited. It got our campus excited. It obviously got the entire state excited and behind him. And I remember talking, you know, to my friends, my Mizzou buddies at the time, and they were all in on Eli Drinkwitz as a recruiter. And to me, to build a program in this modern age, you can't only be a recruiter of young men. You also have to be a recruiter of donors and Fortune 500 companies and backers and your athletic director. And he is magnificent at that. Magnificent. And so, you know, and I even asked him about that. I mean, we could have recorded it and made a television show out of it. But I said, how do you recruit these people? And he said, well, you can't be, this answer stuck with me. He said, you can't be afraid to tell them what you need. And Missouri needed to spend money and have money at its disposal. And obviously the state law that they got changed put them ahead of pace. But in this day and age, you've got to be able to go out and spend money. I mean, it's no different than DeWitt and the Cardinals. Like, you've got to have a payroll that allows you to compete. Otherwise, it's just wishing and hoping. And those usually don't turn out too well.
Well said, Tom Hart, ESPN and SEC Network with us on KMOX. The college football playoff, Missouri is not going to be a part of it, but I'm counting right now 18, maybe more teams involved here. So you're talking about a half dozen teams that are going to be upset like Florida State was last year. Now you're going to have a lot more people complaining, but that's probably a good thing. I mean, you got a lot of teams involved. I don't know how you're going to cram them all in. How do you see this thing, Tom? Four of the top five are Big Ten teams. The conference that you cover closely, the SEC, has easily a half dozen teams involved here, and who knows what's going to happen, all these two-loss teams.
You wouldn't be paying extra attention to it because of what's happening in Bloomington, Indiana, would you?
You know what? I always do pay attention to it, but I'll tell you, it is kind of nice to be sitting here on November 17th and be happy about basketball. But thrilled about the fact that it's my text to my friends was, hey, did you see Miles Rice at point guard last night? It's Ohio State week, boys.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's just think about it from an Indiana perspective, because Indiana could be any traditional second or third tier school at any power conference, right? And in years past, the Ohio State game would dictate whether or not they were still alive. And this Ohio State game for them could have been played in September, right? And they could have been eliminated in September in a four-team playoff or the BCS. But now, yes, you think, man, let's keep the house money and let's play for everything and let's beat Ohio State and let's play for a Big Ten championship. But even with the loss, you're still in the conversation. And I rolled my eyes at the critics who said, well, you're devaluing the regular season. To an extent, you are sometimes devaluing the do or die in specific games that matter in that moment. But what you're doing is, to your point, when you still have 20-ish teams alive in the race on November 17th, you have so many more games that matter. You have so many more teams that are included. And I'm not sure exactly how the 12-team playoff is going to play out. And I don't know if we're going to be in a scenario where, you know, the top four teams just run roughshod in the top four seeds. I don't anticipate it'll just be chalk. I anticipate there's going to be some upsets. And I hope that's the case, because I think that's what makes March Madness special. And we could have our own version of that in college football, which we frankly have not had, you know, outside of random regular season upsets and the crazy finish to the 2007 season, where both Missouri and West Virginia and other teams had a chance to play for a title and petered it away on the last day, which allowed a multi-loss LSU team to play for a national title. Usually that doesn't happen. So I still think, to your original question, I still think it's too early, because there will be more chaos. And it'll be both chaos and cannibalism, because I think in the Big 12 you could see cannibalism. In the ACC you could see cannibalism, and only their champion get in. But it's still too early to tell because of the number of two-loss teams in the SEC, and if that stays, not necessarily will, but if that stays, then you're going to have some heartbroken teams, like Tennessee, for example. And I took part in the college football playoff mock selection with Ward Manuel, who's the athletic director of Michigan, and Rich Clark, who's the committee chair. And what I found in that experience about 6 weeks ago is that they truly value strength of schedule. But it's not necessarily the way I would do it, because I think you have to value specific games. It's a small enough sample size, 13 games, 12 games. You can pinpoint certain games. But they kind of go, and this may not be good for your Hoosiers, they seem to lean on that big all-encompassing number that is strength of schedule over the course of the entire season, when I think you can really dial in on what are your key wins, what are your bad losses, and go from there. But we still don't know. And when you see playoff predictions, keep in mind they're trying to predict how a room of 12 people is going to act when the chips are on the table. So I don't put much weight in those predictions at all.
Yeah, it's all very interesting, no doubt about it. Before we go, who do you have coming up this weekend? Which game are you calling?
We got Vanderbilt at LSU Saturday night, so right. We'll see how the Brian Kelly experiment continues.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, they are not pleased down there, that's for sure. Florida knocks off LSU 27-16. Tom Hart, really great catching up with you. Have a great rest of your season, but we'll stay in touch with you for sure. I always like talking college football with you, my friend.
Tom, great to be on with you. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely. Tom Hart, ESPN and SEC Network, breaking down some college football for us. Josh Schertz, head coach of the Billikens, coming up next on KMOX.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Gets it out. Jimerson pops from the wing.
Bang! Gibson Jimerson hits another one.
Yes. Movement. He's got 14 to lead all storm.
Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr. with the call in KMOX last night. Movement without the ball and the ability to put the ball in the hole. Gibson Jimerson, in his sixth year, is now the third leading scorer in Billiken history. He's already their all-time three-point shooter. The Billikens win the game 77-71, 23 for Jimerson, 23 for Isaiah Swope, and a happy coach. Coach Josh Schertz joins us on KMOX. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, Tom. How you doing?
Doing great. Our visit with Josh Schertz, sponsored by Royal Banks in Missouri. I was there last night calling it on the TV side. Entertaining game. I know that we're going to get into this a little bit. You're not exactly thrilled at how it was closed by your team.
Right. Well, you had a tough night. You had to carry Troy for 2 hours, so I don't envy. You had the hardest job in the building, so which was good. But no, we and you know, look, we did a lot of good things to put ourselves in position to win the game. There's no question about that. We had really good pockets of the game, but last 7-8 minutes was pretty unacceptable. You know, too many breakdowns on both ends, and you know, just didn't close it well. And I think there's a lot to be learned from that, gleaned from that. And it's always, you know, you got to learn and grow through every experience, but it's always better to learn and grow through wins than it is losses. But we certainly got to take some things back from that and look at it as coaches and players and, you know, what can we do different? Where can we get better? But, again, a lot of good things over 33, 34 minutes to put us in position. And then even down the stretch, some big stops. Gibson with a huge three to close it. And, you know, got ourselves across the finish line against a good team.
Yeah, and Swope was awesome. Now, he is running point and handling the ball a ton. And I know when Robbie Avila is in there as your trigger man, you are doing a lot of different things with the trigger. So maybe he's holding the ball a little bit longer than normal. I'm just trying to go back and review in my mind why that lead got away. You would have a much better grasp on this than me. But in my review, shot selection, maybe a couple of careless decisions here and there. I mean, how do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, there was a variety of things. I mean, we had in that stretch, we had a few good looks. I don't want to discount that. That didn't go in. Josiah, you know, had two great looks that we want him taking, missed them. Gibson had one or two really good looks that didn't go in. And then a couple shots that I'd like to have back that I thought were, you know, questionable shot selection. And the biggest thing was eight turnovers in those final, you know, 7-8 minutes. You know, just too many empty possessions where we didn't get a shot off, and whether that's trying to make a home run play, trying to do something more than what's there. We've got to be better. And, you know, I've got to look at everything. You know, we're trying to get, you know, with this group, you know, closing is you're trying to figure it out. You know, obviously, you know, in a normal scenario, the game at the end of the game, I don't want to, like, make it bigger than it is, but certainly it slows down. And when it gets close late, you got to figure out kind of, you know, it becomes more half court and, you know, a little more of, you know, targeting or putting your best players in spots to make plays. And, you know, we've got to do a better job. And that's, you know, Isaiah knows he's got to be better in those closing situations. He wasn't in them a ton last year. We closed at Indiana State with Ryan and with Robbie together, usually in a two-man game. We don't have a two-man game right now with the current roster makeup. So we got to figure out and manipulate things a little more. But I got to do a better job of putting guys in position. And we got to do a better job of taking care of the ball. And then defensively, you know, just too many breakdowns. You know, we had a big rebound late. They're trying to foul us. We turn and throw it right to them. Leads to a three. You know, we give up a layup, two layups late. You know, one on a zone press. We're going in the zone. And they dribble 94 feet and lay it in. So there's a lot on both ends when you have a lead that big and it gets that close. That go wrong, and we've got to look to, you know, go back and correct it. The win doesn't you know, doesn't minimize or negate the last 6-7 minutes, and the last 6-7 minutes doesn't negate a lot of the good things we did either. You know, we got to learn and grow through both.
Yeah, I totally hear that. I'm going to get into a couple of positive things that I saw, but I had a question about McCautry. What happened there? He's a freshman, so was he making some mistakes that you just didn't enjoy, and he didn't play in the second half?
Yeah, it was just, you know, I mean, nothing with Amari. You know, I mean, obviously I love him. I love his talent. You know, he just had some loose turnovers in a game like that. And you know, I went to Josiah late in the first half, and I thought Josiah played with a good pop, good burst. Thought he, you know, he put some pressure on the rim. And so, you know, second half, I went back to Josiah. I didn't think you know, Kobe looked a little bit tentative, maybe just the shoulder, I'm not sure, but he wasn't, you know, playing with much force or pop. I thought out of those three, Josiah was last night the most impactful guy. He got downhill, touched paint, thought he did a pretty good job defensively. And so it was good to see from Joe. And if Josiah wasn't playing well, I would have gone back with Amari. But I thought Amari was a little loose with the ball for sure in the first half. Had a couple plays he could have made on drives to make plays for others. Had a couple turnovers. And, you know, we just, Joe, I thought, you know, last night, and they're trying to play it in a one, you know, all we're doing is playing to win the game last night. Joe gave us the best chance to win last night.
Billikens win it by a final of 77-71. Kalu Anya, I had no idea that he had that kind of ability to distribute. This guy's dishing assists. This guy's dishing assists left and right.
Yeah, it was good to see. It was good to see. You know, Kalu's made some really good passes. I thought he was obviously terrific. You know, he's a guy that can, you know, has a unique skill set. We got to get him doing some things better. He's got to get in the seams better. He's got to attack the ball in the read spot better so he can finish some of those plays. He's got to make free throws. But his rebounding, I thought he made some great passes last night. His defense was fantastic. Guarded everybody on the floor, 1 through 5, switched and made things difficult. I thought his post-D was great. I thought, you know, his offensive rebounding down the stretch along with Gibson's shot closed the game. Like that possession from, you know, when we got the ball back with whatever, 145, 150 left, and Gibson made the three with whatever, 50-some seconds on the clock. I mean, that was Kalu going and getting multiple offensive rebounds. And so having a night like that with, you know, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, what he did defensively, invaluable. And now we got to continue to help him like all the guys. You know, he's got to grow in, you know, understanding how to get in the seams and play more in the seams. He's got to, like I said, attack the catches in the read spot, finish those plays, and he's got to make free throws. But he did a lot of good. You talk about a guy who was impactful in winning. He touched and put his fingerprints on that game on both ends of the floor through his passing, his rebounding, getting downhill. He did a lot of things to help our team last night, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. A Kellen Thames-type game. You know, he did a lot of different things. And yep. You've got a nice-looking team here. And we all know that it could look even better with Robbie Avila. If this comes together for you with Robbie as the maestro, let's say, of this symphony, this orchestra, it could be a lot of fun. What is the latest on Robbie? How is he feeling? And what are the next steps here?
Yeah, so he did a little bit of a jog on the they call it the anti-gravity. So it's just like, you know, it takes the pressure off the joint, but you can run. You just obviously takes the weight off, so it's a little bit different. But he did that yesterday. You know, hasn't done anything on the court yet. They're working on flexion, range of motion. There's all these different things that he's got to get to before he can start, you know, on the court running and cutting and, you know what I mean, and jumping and those type of things. So the hope is, you know, he's in there this morning. I know he's meeting with a medical team. You know, he does it on, you know, he'll be there this morning working with them. And then we'll have an idea tomorrow to kind of, you know, all right, this is where he is. These are the benchmarks he's got to hit. And, you know, the North Star was always the Wichita State game. I don't know that's going to be. That's, you know, 18 days from when he sprained it in South Dakota. So that's, you know, a quicker timeline. The last time he was back in 28 days playing, he was back on the court in 25 days. So, you know, it'd basically be a 10-day, you know, advance. If he misses it, he misses it. You know, I mean, like, there's a, you know, obviously we want him back. I mean, he's without question, I mean, our best player, and, you know, makes a lot of what we do go on both ends of the floor. And we kind of put the roster, you know, around him and his ability to do things. And that closing time, he's about as good as it is, you know, in that critical offense deal. But, you know, he's got to be healthy. You know, there's a difference in return to play and return to performance. We want him to be out there healthy. He can't just come back and hobble out there. So, you know, it'll take what it takes. The hope is, I still, you know, have hope that he can be ready for Friday. But I would certainly, you know, I wouldn't bet any money on that. I think we got to see how he does this week. And if he misses that one, then there's a chance that it, you know, depending on how it goes, just because we play, I think, 3 games in 5 or 6 days, that, you know, it would maybe be, you know, December 2nd against Jackson State would maybe be the next window, unless I'm, you know, wrong and there's something in between. But it'll be hard to see if he can't be ready to go the 22nd, that he could be ready to go the 25th or 27th without any practice.
It is Josh Schertz, the head coach of the Billikens. A couple of things left for him. That is a late start, a 9:30 tip on Friday night against Wichita State, kind of like one of those late night NCAA tournament games. That's how I look at it. We'll have it on KMOX, of course. How is Wichita State? What are you going up against here?
I think, you know, so far, I think the best team we've played by a pretty good margin. You know, undefeated right now. They got Monmouth. I think tomorrow, if they win that at home, they'll be 4-0 going in. But they won on the road, won a big one at Western Kentucky. They're a really good basketball team. They've done a good job, well coached, talent, got dynamic guards, good, you know, decent size. They're physical, explosive, really good offensive team. You know, can guard you, beat you up on the glass a little bit. So I think, you know, certainly have the first four. That'll be our stiffest challenge to date. I think we got a lot of really good games in this first semester, but in those first four, there's no question Friday night in Kansas City will be the highest line in terms of what we've got to get to, the biggest, you know, they'll challenge us more than anybody has here these first three.
And then finally, can you give us an overview of these three signees that you announced this past week, Luke Leskowski, Cam Hudson, and Jax Kerr? Who are we going to see here?
Yeah, we really excited about these three freshmen. You know, we want to do this. We've always been a development program. We want to remain that, where guys come in and, you know, we bring them along. They get better. These three guys, you know, fit us really, really well. Cam Hudson, you know, was a guy I watched this summer. Really, really love his game. I mean, you know, he's 6'6", really good athlete. Got the right kind of body, similar to Amari's, where he's got the size. He's more of a wing than Amari, but he can handle the basketball. He shoots the three really well, but physical, confrontational driver, has great defensive versatility, and is a guy we think could be a star. Luke Leskowski, 6'8", unbelievable instincts, elite shooter, has elite cutting instincts. You know, I think he just fits our system really well. He understands how to play, highest level shooter with terrific instincts defensively. Has the same instincts. He knows where to be. He's in the right places. He's got a good toughness, really cerebral, high IQ, high processing guy, and with an elite, you know, an elite skill and a skill we really value. And then Jax Kerr, I think he's kind of the prototype for, you know, what the game is becoming. He's the guy that has great mobility and shot blocking. You know, he's a center. He's skinny. He's got to, you know, continue to put on strength and weight. But he's got this, you know, mobility, and he's a terrific shot blocker. Got really long arms, you know, 7'2", 7'3", wingspan. And then he steps out and he shoots over 40% from three. And so he protects the paint and clogs the paint on one end. And then he's got the ability with his shooting gravity to open the paint up for drives and has that, you know, the ability to step out and really shoot the basketball at a high level. So super excited about all three guys. They're guys that fit the system. They fit the culture, you know, what we want Billiken basketball to be. And we think, you know, with some of the young guys we have in the program, you know, we're going to be able to really build with these guys as we go forward. But all three can shoot at a high level. All three are great kids, great teammates, and really good competitors. So could not be more excited to add those guys to the fold.
It'll be a lot of fun to follow their journey. And as always, we follow the Billiken's journey, and they have a game on Friday night at the T-Mobile Center in Kansas City, 9:30 on Friday night as they take on Wichita State. Coach Josh Schertz with us. Fun game last night, Coach. Thanks, as always, for being with us.
I appreciate having me on, as always, and look forward to seeing you guys Friday night. Make sure you get your nap in so we're all awake for the tip and ready to go through and to an 11:30 finish. So hopefully the fans, everybody does as well. So we look forward to hopefully having a great group travel and should be a whale of a basketball game.
Absolutely. Be well and good luck. Thanks, Coach.
Appreciate it, Tom. Thanks. Have a great night.
Josh Schertz, you too. Josh Schertz with us on KMOX's Sports on a Sunday morning. We are the home of the Billikens. We will take a break. We'll come back and get into what happened to the Blues yesterday. Good win for them. And we'll preview their game today against the Carolina Hurricanes. The Blues won it in overtime over the Bruins. When have they gone into Boston before and pulled out a victory? Yeah, no, it's tradition. We'll be back after this on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. Great to catch up with Josh Schertz right there. That was fun. Slew coach with us. We have a good time calling those games on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Of course, KMOX is the home of the Billikens. Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr. on the call. Troy Robertson and I have that. That's fun. We have had a good time with those. And we also had Tom Hart on the show a little while ago. Love catching up with Tom, the voice of SEC football on the SEC network. And he has been really great to work with on this show, coming on quite often to join us. I hadn't talked to him, though, in a while. You know, he also did some baseball and a lot of other things going on. So he is he's a talented individual. Good to talk some college football with him. If you want to go back to either of those, the reason I bring it up, if you want to go back to either of those, you can just go to the Odyssey app right now. Rewind. Schertz was at 10:33 and Tommy was what, about 10:16. We'll have him posted on our Sports on a Sunday Morning podcast page. Now to the Blues, who won last night 3-2 in overtime. First, a shout out, Trent Frederick, St. Louis kid, scored both Boston Bruins goals. And he's got a great family. Trent is a big physical player, but he scored both goals for the Bruins. And congratulations to him on that. But the Blues got the win. 3-2, they go up to Boston. They will always be linked with the Bruins, having beaten them in Boston for the Stanley Cup 5 years ago. And this time, Braden Schenn, who knows a thing or two about that, got the job done. An overtime tally, 3-2. And this was really, not just that, but a good overall game for the Blues, who have played rather poorly over the last few weeks. Here is Schenner visiting with the media after his win, a 3-2 overtime winner.
I would consider that. If you look at the game as a whole, I thought we were resilient. We had our skating legs today, and we had a good jump, and, playing hard in all three zones. So, had some selfless hockey there too within the second period with guys setting each up on line changes and getting rewarded for it with chances and Vasquez line there to reward us with two tonight. It's huge. They've been good for us all year and stepped up for us tonight.
It's about the second period. How did that kind of change the tides for you guys?
Simple. North. On top of them, like I said, we were skating, and then we did. Once we did hem them in, guys had good line changes, selfless. That maybe don't extend your shift and cut them a little bit short to set the next guy up. And then when that happens, they get a little bit more tired, and then you're able to. We call it three quarter ice, where if they chip it out, you three quarter them and go back at them. So we're able to do that, and it's just a solid win for us to stick with it and get a win.
More proud of the block shot or the goal?
Block shot, because Pasternak scored last game, and that was my block. So I got him tonight, and he's always hanging out over there. He's a dynamic shooter. He's a hell of a player, and I was able to get in front of that one today.
And on the goal itself, I mean, you seem to like going far side in overtime.
We can't talk secrets, can we? Just whatever you see. Some goalies play it a little bit different. There's pre-scouts on every goalie, so you just go in and try and make a shot. And I was able to, beat Corpus Allo with that one.
Looking at Scott and the way he played today, what did you think about him?
I don't know if he just circled today as a whole. I think you look at, his past, four or five games or whatever it may be, just confidence is building, and that's what he is. He's dynamic with his feet. He makes stuff happen in the offensive zone by moving around and making defenders uneasy, just the way he, one, moves his feet, and two, he can see the ice. So confidence is everything for him, and he's definitely feeling it right now.
You're carrying the puck in overtime there. What's going through your mind? Are you thinking this is a shot opportunity and I'm going to do this?
Yeah, well, I looked right, and there obviously was an 0-2 on one, so I just thought, a little bit of back checker, but D-man backed in a little bit, and I had some speed, and just able to make that shot from the left side. And goalies are so good in this league, and you just never know if you're able to beat them. But I thought I had some chances tonight, and two on ones where the last one I wasn't very happy with, and I was able to make a shot there, and luckily it went in.
5 years ago, but still fond memories for you coming back into this building. Kind of what goes through your mind when you come in here?
Favorite building in the league. Yeah, realistically, it's just, it's a special place to play because it brings back so many good memories with so many good people that we won with and teammates. And, that's what everyone's chasing year by year. You're hungry to, win another Stanley Cup once you get that feeling. So that's the chase everyone has when you open up the season, and obviously very special that we did in this building.
Good to hear Braden Schenn with a smile on his face and a smile in his voice after a win 3-2 in overtime over the Bruins, because Schenner has been very critical of his teammates and of himself and basically calling them soft and saying that they weren't able to complete a game and that they were letting things get away, and it was not like the Blues that anybody expected to see. Thought this team would be fast and tough and a little bit better than last year's team. That was the team yesterday that the Blues hoped to put on the ice. It was a complete victory for them. 3-2 over the Bruins. They will have a tough challenge today. They're going to be taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. Carolina, one of the best teams in the league. Again, they are 12-4 right now, knocking on the door of the top of the Metro Division in the Eastern Conference. So we'll keep an eye on that game. We'll be back after the news on KMOX.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.